30 point buck.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in this week. Hopefully you've enjoying some of this fall weather, a little snap in the air every morning now. And, you know, one of those things is that's a good thing about fall. Don't have a lot of color yet, though, where we are. I'm surprised. It's usually we got a weird year. I'm sure, Bob, you've got some sort of explanation as to why that's happening.
I don't know. I don't, actually. I'm a little perplexed based on last year, but
yeah.
I know we got a lot of acorns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A crazy amount.
They're everywhere.
I'm planning on a cold winter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually the old farmer's almanac, right?
I'm cutting firewood like mad.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of it down with the storms we had blow through
there
here.
There is, so. And we've got a decent little chunk of trees there, and my neighbors all have a bunch, and they're saying, cut all you want. I'm like, I'm one man.
Right, yeah.
I need an army to come through here.
Right.
But speaking of trees, I've been spending time, you know, doing that work on the back building, the log, and I'm learning how to split a log with a chainsaw. It's a trick.
Is it?
Oh man, the first couple are pretty ugly.
Yeah.
It's like,
does it bind up on you? Or?
Well, it wants, you know, it's hard to get them nice and clean. I've seen, like, my friend's Uncle Todd up at a deer camp, he built a log cabin, and he literally planed all of his logs flat, which is not how you typically do a log cabin. You V the top log, right, and it sits over. But he cut them all flat, and his are, like, he did a beauty job.
Well, if you got a sawmill, you can run them through.
You need
there.
A big buzz saw to
right.
really do yep. it well, but I'm trying.
Trying to do it with a chainsaw?
To do it, yeah, just kind of, I don't know, the way I can with my limited ability. And
and tools,
it's
because it takes the right tools.
You yeah. should have a buzz saw, but I've been cutting a lot of wood, so I can tell you all about the trees. And no, they're not turning. Yesterday morning, I get up really early, except this morning. Sorry about that. And I took a shower, you know, my scent-free soap and everything, and had all my I wash all my hunting gear and scent-free stuff, and crept through the woods in what you call. They call it still hunting, which you're not really still, but you take basically one step about every minute. You're moving so slow. And I did just a beautiful job at getting 80 yards from my garage.
Yeah, right.
Into the
woods. If you're taking a step every minute, so it was noon when you
yeah.
got there.
Yeah. Well, that's how early I was, but it was still so dark because there's so many leaves. I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
But I heard something. And I crept up pretty close to a buck, but guess what? He can do better than me in the dark.
It's here.
And see.
Yeah.
And I got close, and I know it was a buck because the does are always together. This was one by himself, but now I know where he's bedding.
Yeah. Well, at least that day. Yeah.
Well, they're very often habitual like that. You know, if at least the bucks, I find the does do the same thing. If they have a place where they sun during the day or where they bed, they'll very often be in that same spot. So I'm going to keep my eye out for them.
Yeah, there you
if
go.
If we can lose some leaves.
Right, yeah, we could lose some leaves for the hunters that are out there.
Well, I'm heading up right now when we're done. So
oh, yeah.
I'm going, yeah.
Are you using one of those slings yet from Allen Bob's?
No, I've got so many ladder stands.
Okay.
It's like, you know, that's like a totally different approach. And I'm just getting old enough that I don't know if I really
want to change your ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. So this week, this past weekend, after we got done with the show, my wife pulled a fast one on me and had me go over and meet Chaz and another couple.
Well, it wasn't fast. That was planned for a long time.
Well, I know it was. But basically what it was is she put a surprise birthday party for me. My birthday was the 12th. And I turned 60, and nothing happened on that day.
Wow!
And
he's old, Conrad.
Right. And but anyway, it was wonderful. Barbecue Bob was there, brought me a very nice bottle of bourbon. for a birthday gift, but there was about 50, 60 people there, and they all brought chili, and it was just a great time.
I was thoroughly surprised. I was afraid everyone was bringing chili. Thankfully, they didn't. There was only like four chilies there.
Well, yeah, I guess I didn't pay attention.
And that's why I brought the Green Menace, because I thought, gosh, if we're going to have all those chilies, I got to do something a little bit different so there's a variety.
Yeah. What's the Green Menace? I'll bite.
It's on our website. It's something back to Cowboy Rob. He had a client or a friend out west, and you know, in southwestern Colorado and northeastern New Mexico, they have the Hatch peppers. So they have a chili out there that's called green chili, and it's used with a smoked pork butt and no beans, and they put it over rice or something. And like my favorite omelet out there was always a cheese omelet with the green chili on top. Fantastic. So I made the Green Menace. And did you have any of it?
I did. It was good.
You like it?
Yeah, yeah. Tell them what's in it, though.
You know, when you make something, you don't know if it's really that good because you've tasted it all day. That took me like a whole day to make. That was a several-day process, of course, to smoke a shoulder and whatever. And because, you know, when you love your friend, you want to bring something really good.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and it was.
Yeah.
So it's smoked pork butt. And then it's, you know, the green salsa is a verde.
Yeah. I love it.
It's
yeah.
along that line. It's Hatch peppers. It's, I use some, it's got several others. It's on the grillingguys.com recipe website. You can pick it up there, but it's a smoked pork butt with smoked. I smoked the tomatillas, which is it's a tomato that's got a funny skin on it.
Little paper wrapper.
Yeah.
And when you smoke them, that thing falls off, and then there's a little green tomato in the inside. It's a tomatillo,
So I roasted the tomatillo, and I used onion and garlic, and it's got cumin, cayenne, several other peppers, chili peppers, and then of course the Hatch peppers, and green pepper, red pepper, smoked everything, and just charcoal, no flavor wood. It was just a nice.
Smoke, yeah, I was going to say it wasn't over smoked by any means. Good. No, and sometimes you can if you put too much flavor wood on. So yeah, it was perfectly smoked.
And then made a great big pot of rice, and I was afraid I made too much. But as it turns out,
my family likes to eat and my friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Great group of people. But, but that is, it was good. 'Cause you know, Job's older than crap now.
Yeah.
I wanted something memorable for the old boy.
Right. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. They told me I had a good time, but
there's one lesson I've learned from this. And if you can join a hall, this was Chaz's Lithuanian hall.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you,
I think it's called.
Telling you, when I paid my tab, I think it was $14. And I bought beers for several people.
Right. Yeah. Lisa paid ours. So, but we hung there till probably like 10 o'clock, and it started at 3.
Wow.
So we had a good time, but there was plenty of food, and people just hung out that could, and just a real great time of fellowship and getting together with family and friends that I hadn't seen. You know, you don't ever get everybody together like that very often. And so hats off to my bride, Lisa. She pulled that off. I was clueless. And when I walked in and I'm standing there at the bar for 10 minutes before Chaz tells me to go look in the... He's, hey, Jop, we got some new kitchen equipment here at the hall. I want to show it to you. Open the door and there's everybody sitting there. So it was kind of cool. You guys were patient in that room. It was quiet. I didn't hear a peep out of anybody in there. So it was cool. Really cool. But anyway, so thank you, everybody, if you're listening, for sharing my birthday with me. That was a good time. I hadn't had a birthday party in years, so very cool. All right, well, coming up next, we're going to do a little, camp cooking, because people are doing a little camping this time of year, whether it's deer camp or duck camp or whatever it may be. And, sometimes it's good to pull that stuff ahead and make some certain things out of it. I'm also doing a huge tailgate on Saturday afternoon, evening today, basically Michigan State, but the game doesn't start till 7:30.
Right.
So we'll cover a little bit of that too later in the show.
But I'm afraid to watch that game.
Yeah, it's not going to be that good at all, but it'll be a game, and we're going to be there, rain or shine. So You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Dang, Bob, we're almost at the end of October already. We're in the 20s. But
it's still nice weather.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's a snap in the morning, but these 55, 60 degree days, I'm digging it.
Last weekend, it was cold and rainy, and I was in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
This week, no, it was the weekend before. Today and the rest of this next couple of days, I'm going back up, and it's nice weather. Yeah. So I'll be happy to hunt without freezing.
Right. And Don, do you leave your tent up and everything while you're gone?
I did this time, but I'll take it down when I'm done because I don't have the big safari tent anymore. I just have my six-man tent.
Okay.
And when I go up, I think I'm only going to get to go one more time, and that'll be for a rifle opener, and I'll stay at the cousin's place up there.
Yeah, right. So do you have a heater in that little six man?
No.
No? Ooh, that's brisk mornings.
You know, it's surprisingly, well, I have my sleeping bag is cozy warm.
Right.
And the only hard thing is when you have to step outside and go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So don't drink too much beer.
Yeah, and you don't want to get all dressed again in cold clothes to go do that and then
get
undressed.
That's why I bring my slippers.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I'm thinking about all these things, I was just talking with Tiga the other day, and he's sending me a sample of his new spice, and he's talking about going to duck camp, and he hunts, you know, right down there by the Robertsons and with the Robertsons sometimes, but those guys are all duck hunters.
Right.
So they actually have duck camp, you know, that's
right.
Whereas we go to deer camp, and the deer are so small down there, I don't blame them for not wanting to shoot them.
Right. Ducks are big, though.
You could use a rat trap for their deer.
Right, yeah.
So, but whatever, if it's fishing, you know, a lot of guys are going up for salmon at the tippy or wherever, and if you've got your favorite spot in the woods you like to go, there's always that food thing you're bringing, whether it's a cabin you're renting or if you've got RVs. A lot of people bring travel trailers. Either way, you got to prep food before you go. And one of the things I've always done and love to do is the smoked pork chop.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you buy the whole loin and smoke that, the bone-in loin, or do you buy individual chops?
I have, but if I'm really going to be honest, I'd rather go to Sobeys and just let them chop some up for me.
Well, no doubt. That's a great place because they've got smoked pork chops in their meat case. Right.
Okay, so here's something. That's a deal. Not everybody can make a good smoked pork chop.
Right.
Where I used to get them, and I won't say the name of the place, but it was out by me, and I used to bring them up to deer camp way back 20 years ago when I started going to Whipple. I'd always buy them there, and they were just so salty.
Yeah. Yep.
And I thought that's what they were supposed to be. No, they don't have to be.
Right.
You go to Sobey, you'll taste what it's supposed to be. Or if you just do one yourself, just go tell Timmy you want a loin and brine it and smoke it and do your own.
Right. And go easy on the salt when you're brining it because that's what makes them salty, but you need some
The salt makes them salty.
Right, huh?
Did you catch that, Conrad?
Right. I'm telling you.
Well, the older I get, the wiser I get. The stuff I learn on this show.
The learning show.
Right. It's the older I get, the wiser I get. You guys all feeling it. You're feeling the love right now. But anyway, no, so go to Sobeys and in the meat counter, and basically you're going to, they're smoked, but they're cold, right? I mean, you're not getting anything hot. You're going to take them up there cold, and then what you're going to do is just heat them back up in like a cast iron skillet over the fire.
That's the beauty of it. You can just throw it on your grate over your fire.
Right.
And
cast iron,
get a little bit of a little bit of a brown to it. If you're using a cast iron, sure, you can put some oil on it and just heat it up a little bit. But I think my big rule when I'm camping is do everything on a grate if you can, so you don't have dishes.
Yeah, no,
we're rustic camping. I mean, we're, you know, you've been there.
Right.
You're in the woods. You don't have a sink. You don't have a kitchen. And who wants to do dishes? You got better things to do.
Right, yep.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Paper plates, throw them in the fire when you're done.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
But then one of the things I always used to do would be to wrap things up in foil. Until I started cooking a lot with foil and then researching it, and I realized that it's really it's a chemical product. It's not quite what we were sold the bill of goods on. So there are some some hazards to using tinfoil. So I no longer wrap beets and potatoes in foil and put them by the fire.
So how do you cook them then when you're up there, or do you bring them cooked?
I will. Well, if it's like a potato, I'm just going to fry them in a cast iron pan.
Okay.
Or I'll throw them in the Dutch oven.
Yep.
There it is.
There it is. My favorite piece of cooking equipment on earth is the Dutch oven.
Depending on how long you've listened to this show, this guy has come full circle because all the things he used to razz me about, he is now doing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll cover that in the next segment, the Dutch oven. But, you know, the prep, so you usually, when you're at camp, it's a two meal a day, right? You're not getting up and stinking up the woods and doing a full breakfast in the morning.
I used to, yeah. But anymore, yeah, it's like just take a granola bar and an apple.
Right, and go out, and then you eat a big lunch, and you go back out, and you hunt till dark and come back in and eat again. So it's really a two meal deal.
Well, it kind of varies, too, because, like, sometimes when I get back, like, even now, I'll very often not even make coffee before I go because I just would rather get in a tree.
Yep.
And if you drink coffee, sometimes it causes other things to happen.
Right.
And you don't
want
to
get out of the tree.
Climb down.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes, like last time Paul and I were up 2 weeks ago, I got back to camp early, probably about 10 o'clock because it was rainy. And I made my coffee then. And made eggs and sausage and potatoes, and it was fantastic. The coffee never tasted so good.
Yeah, well, when you're cold like that, yeah, and you don't have any heater, and you're in a six-man tent.
Not only did I not have any heater, but I, like an idiot, believed the weather forecast and kind of packed light because, you know, you got to haul all this stuff, and I have so much hunting gear.
Right.
So I took all my lightweight stuff thinking, well, it's early, you know, it's early October. I don't need the heavy stuff. And I'm telling you, buddy, it got cold.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is to make sure your feet stay dry.
Yep.
And I brought my hiking boots and found out that they are no longer waterproof.
Oh, well, then
so
your
my feet
didn't...
got waterlogged.
Right.
So I jumped in the car and ran into Big Rapids and went to Dunham's, and they have a fantastic hunting boot selection.
Okay.
And I found a nice – I needed a new pair of – lightweight rubber insulated boots anyway because mine are pretty old and starting to fall apart, and gave me an excuse to get in the warm car and take a ride
right. Yeah, that's funny. But anyway, so you know, your Dutch oven is something that I've learned to love. You used to cook everything in it. I mean, our whole show was about a Dutch oven and what we were cooking in it. And
I used to
rag on you a little bit about that. But then you bought me one. You're like, okay, I can solve this problem. I'm going to get him one. And anytime you get a new piece of cooking equipment, if you've listened to the show at all, you know I go all out on it, trying to figure it out and make sure I know how to use it. And a few years ago, Bob bought me a beautiful Lodge Dutch oven. And so in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the recipes and how you can use this thing, because it truly is a very, very versatile cooking pot.
Oh, those Dutch people.
Right. And I think that if you don't have one, you should get one. You know, you've never heard that endorsement before, but you heard it here today. So your list of the grilling guys. Stick with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dutch oven and Bob's magic creations when we come back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the
rig. It's the Dutch Oven Show with Jop and Barbecue Bob. We're gonna talk a little bit about Dutch ovens. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, we're talking a little bit about the tools and techniques that you're going to use if you're going to hunt and camp. Get yourself ready. And one of the tools that Barbecue Bob took him years to wear me down, but now I'm a true believer in a pot that's called a Dutch oven. Take it away, Bob.
Well, the longer you own one, and you've already gone down that discovery trail,
right?
The more things you start to try to do on it. One thing I'm doing tonight, actually, is meatloaf.
Okay.
And I've just basically made the meatloaf mixture, and when I get in from camp, I'm going to put some bacon grease in the Dutch oven. I like to grease it up.
Right, and so then, things don't stick.
And then I'm going to just plop it in there and sort of press it down. Now, one of the things I really like with the meatloaf is the way my mother used to do it. It was to put ketchup on top before she roasted it.
Yep. That's very good because it gets a little tacky.
Yeah, it gets very red.
It creates a little gel on
kind
top.
Kind of a barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
thing.
Almost, yeah. So the Dutch oven, let's look at this thing, why it's so unique. And what I believe is the most unique about it is they're cast iron, so your heat travels throughout the vessel, if you will, evenly. And because cast iron really conducts heat very well. And then generally, you're actually putting some coals maybe on top of the lid and it's below. So you're getting heat from above and below, and things just cook very different when there's heat pushing
beautifully
down,
yeah,
and heat pushing
absolutely
up.
Absolutely. Right? And that, you know, that's why I like that little griddle you use on your back deck. If they made those, and somebody does now, if they put a cast top on that, it would be absolutely perfect because you wouldn't have all the hot spots.
Right.
The problem with those, whatever it's called, is it's just thin Chinese steel, and you can see everywhere there's a burner because that's where your food overcooks.
Right.
And then the stuff next to it's not done.
Right. Yeah. Try to cook bacon on one of those. It's a Blackstone griddle.
There you go.
Right. And they are, it's an entry level. I admit it. I did it because I wanted to try one, and I had a reason to buy it. So I did. And there was,
well, I'm not denigrating it because
it's $400,
entry
right?
Level.
Yeah. I mean, but at the end of the day, Bob is exactly right there. Picture a griddle that's about 16 inches deep and 36 inches wide, and there's four vertical burners running from your belly to the back of the griddle,
yeah,
and there's four lines of heat, and it's cool between them and super hot right above the burner. And then if you get out on the edges, there's very little heat, so what you end up doing is cooking in the middle of the thing and sliding stuff over to the left edge and the right edge when it's done so it doesn't overcook still. But you learn.
There's
right?
a company that makes a really nice American-made custom-size cast griddle. I mean, it's a stainless griddle for your grill.
Okay, set it on top then.
Yeah, and I'm working out a deal with them right now so that we can help them promote them, and I'm hoping that I get a sample.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the Dutch oven. Yeah, right. I hope you get two. Yeah.
No, you've already got one.
Right, but back to the Dutch oven. The other thing you can do in these things is bake. And we've done the we're really experimenting with cobblers this fall.
It's the Dutch Oven Guys show,
right? Well, yeah. I mean, you called it. It's a whole segment, so I'm going there. But you put the the cobbler base in there, whatever it is. We use apples, and we use a brown sugar and butter mixture to make a caramel. You
when
put
he
the apples
says
in there.
We, Conrad, he's talking about his bride. Because,
right.
He
well, I went and got the Dutch oven out of the basement. I mean, come on. I'm in on this. And but anyway, and then we did it in the oven. We didn't do it over a fire. We just put it in an oven.
Well, they work. That's a great point.
Right.
They work fantastic in an oven.
Right.
Probably the best.
Right. But it's covered.
Because now you're really... encircling the cast with even heat. You're not even
right.
Just hitting the bottom. So now it'll work. And for bread, it absolutely is the beast.
And that was it, is that you put the toppings in there and then put the muffin top on it, or biscuit. I guess it's more of a biscuit that she puts on there. And then we just cooked it for 40 minutes at 350, and it was like, oh, man, puffed right up, and it was easy to spoon out of there.
And what is this?
It's a caramel apple cobbler.
You're kind of a one-trick pony, aren't you?
Well, no. That's what we might, but we've got peach, too. Peach is on the horizon. We stopped at...
we're going to branch out.
Right, yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, the meatloaf's in there. There's a pot roast. I'm not a big pot roast guy, but those work very well. Here's the other thing.
What do you call a pot roast?
Chuck roast.
Okay.
Yeah. But here's the other thing with the Dutch oven is all the moisture is kept in there. That lid is seals on there
you
tight.
You said you're not much of a roast guy?
What? I'm not. It's not my favorite cut. Nope. I don't like it, the stringiness of it.
A chuck roast is...
Flavorful.
Heavenly.
Very flavorful, but
now,
I don't like the texture.
When you said pot roast, I immediately thought of a rump roast.
Oh, nope.
Those are stringy.
Yeah.
And they're flavorless. Because it's from the rear of the cow.
Right.
I don't care
Tastes
for
it. Tastes like ass. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that necessarily. I don't know what that tastes like, but do tell.
Yeah. Tastes like a rump roast. That's what it tastes like.
Well, so you can also, that was one of my ideas is to, like, my wife's a bread maker and a baker. Like, your wife likes to bake. My wife likes to bake. And I'm just not any good at baking. I don't try to be. I struggle with bread and pizza crust and stuff like that.
You know
that.
Why, Bob? I do too. And you know why? My wife pointed it out to me. I don't cook with recipes.
Right.
And baking, you have to have exact amounts of stuff to make stuff turn out. You and I, we bake by look and we bake by feel and a little bit of taste.
Well, and the other thing is, like for pizza dough in particular, you should make it up a couple days in advance.
Yeah.
And have it in the fridge.
Proof.
Your
they
best,
call it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Your best breads and doughs are done that way. But so if you go to Trader Joe's, they sell frozen and pizza dough, bread dough.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you take one of those up, thaw that in your Dutch oven, and then throw that on the side of the fire before you head off to the tree stand.
Yeah. Ooh, mm-hmm. Fresh bread when you come back.
Yeah.
See, I got this guy. His name is Jan Han. And
he was at your party.
I know. He's my daughter-in-law's dad, and he owns a bakery. So anything that I get baked, I get it from Lisa, or I get it from John Han at Han Bakery in Greenville.
Well, that's
so
because
I've never had to perfect baking because I got good people around me.
You're entitled. And,
I'm not entitled.
Know,
I'm just
entitled
I'm lucky.
People. You know,
entitled.
Yeah,
are
you know, they have. Herman, go get this for me. Jeeves. Dexter, go get me
Go cook me some bread.
Give me a scone.
I'd like a semphah, please.
Yeah. I hate scones.
Yes. So do I. Don't like the texture of them at all. But, anyway. Whatever. We digress.
No, but the breakfast bake is fantastic in a Dutch oven.
Mm,
it's fantastic. And that's another thing you can take your time on. But I'll very often do the same thing, and I bring bacon grease up with me,
right?
Because I store it, I hoard it, I have it in the freezer,
sure,
because it's a great fat to work with,
right?
And we do a lot of bacon, and I just really love what it does to food. You would have tasted it in that green chili because I put some beautiful bacon in there too.
Yep.
but if you do like your potatoes, and then for deer camp, implicitly, I will take smoky links. Just love them.
Yep.
They're a deer camp sausage to me.
Yep.
And I don't have to worry about them being thoroughly cooked. And then I'll crack some eggs on top. I'll throw some cheese on top, and I'll just put it by the fire or over a grate, nice and high, and let her go. And I'm telling you, that my mouth's watering. I'm so hungry right now just thinking about it.
And you can put all that stuff in like a quart mason jar or a ball jar, and shake it up and pour it in the pan, and it's just it travels well that way too. You can make it ahead a couple days.
Well, that's the funny you should say that, because if you are in a campsite, that's a great way to bring your eggs, is just in a jar.
Yep, exactly, all cracked and ready to go. But anyway, we're gonna bring this thing to the station here in segment four. We haven't covered any stew yet, and I love me some stew, man. That's just belly warming stuff.
It's boogie with stew.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. We've been talking about everything you can take to camp, prep it ahead so it's easy to cook. When you come back in and you're cold and your belly's empty and you just want to get something in it, there's a lot of good things. What's next, Bob?
And here's a thought. Maybe you don't deer hunt.
Maybe you know? Just go to deer camp and
maybe,
cook.
And maybe you don't even do that. Maybe you're somebody that doesn't appreciate the woods in the fall. You can do all the stuff at home. This stuff is still really good at home.
The
breakfast bake, the Dutch oven, all that stuff. If you want Lisa to come over and make you something, I'm sure
cobbler,
Randy will turn her loose for a day.
Right. Yeah.
But stew. I got to tell you, I made stew the other day. It was probably the best I've ever done, and I was trying to recant my steps because I asked my wife how she liked it, and she wouldn't even talk. She was just eating. She really liked it. She's a stew girl.
Yeah.
You know, she's English
and
Irish.
Well, that's comfort food.
And that's what her mom made, right? English-Irish mother.
Well, you know what? They had like 10 kids in their family, didn't they? Yeah. Well, she made a lot of stew because that goes a long ways for that big family.
Yeah. So anyway, I was trying to figure out what I did differently, and it was really just a bunch of little different things. And so the stew you make, you might just make out of habit the way your mom did it or the way your uncle did it or, you know, however you're used to eating it. But I'm telling you, it's a pretty cool food that you have a lot of leeway with because it's a blend. And you can ruin it if you're not careful.
Yeah, don't put too much garlic in there. I have a tendency to lean on the garlic a little too much, and then it's all you can taste.
Well, and the other thing you got to be careful on is the salt side because you can't take it back out.
That's right. Yeah, you can't really do anything. You can dilute and dilute, but then you got consistency issues. And
well, so one of the things I did to the stew this time was I used heavy cream for my sauce.
Okay.
Holy cow. That really did the trick.
Yeah.
I think that was
the
magic.
Was it a beef stew? Or venison stew?
Yeah,
which was it?
Beef.
Okay.
And
so what cut?
Chuck roast.
Okay.
I just roasted a chuck roast. And then I cut it up into chunks and put it in the stew. I don't
When you say roasted, tell me what that means.
In the oven.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know.
Did you get it all the way done or just?
Put it in a pot and, yeah, about 3 hours.
Okay.
And there's other ways to do it. You know, some guys will buy the stew meat and cut up and then saute it and cook the stew with it. I like to have all my vegetables at just the right level. So, like, what I don't want to do is overcook it so that everything is mushy.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So are you cooking the vegetables?
In the sauce.
In the sauce.
Yep. And then
But the meat is in there too? Or,
yep.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So the meat obviously takes longer than the vegetables to cook, which is why you're pre-cooking it before you put it in.
Right.
I'm assuming you're doing this in an either Dutch oven or a crock pot or something like that?
One of my wife's roasting pans.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of something, too, back to the Green Menace thing.
Uh-oh. Back to the first segment, guys.
I did something really, really funny there, and I did a bunch of butts for an event a few weeks back, and when I got done, I had in my large Cambro container in a tray, I had just a ton of this au jus.
Right, yep.
And I never really do anything with pork au jus. For some reason, I prejudice it. So I took all that and
it can be a little greasy if it's not.
I cooled it and I took the fat off the top and then I took all that au jus and I put it in my cryovac bags and I sealed it up and put them in the freezer.
Yep.
I put one of those in that Green Menace.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, that stuff was kind of magic sauce.
Yeah. Well, so it's very concentrated flavor.
If you
yeah.
do pork butts, there's
exactly
just a thought. Just a
yeah.
thought because you end up with a lot of it. But anyway, so back to the stew. Yeah, I know.
Squirrel.
Well, I didn't want to forget that because it was a cool trick, and I've never tried that before. And people might try the Green Menace, and if you're doing a pork butt, you're going to have a lot of that juice.
Right.
And I only used a half a pork butt for that whole big pot.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of it.
Yep. Yep, sure was. So, you know, you can do this same thing with chicken as well. You get a skinless, boneless chicken breast, you can make a stew out of that as well. Almost the consistency of like what's inside of a pot pie, right? You use the diced vegetables with the onion, the carrots, and the peas, and then put the chicken in there, and I'd cook the chicken off a little bit.
Why wouldn't you just throw the whole chicken in and cook it off and then use that sauce?
You could. You could.
Then you're going to get some real.
Pull it out of there.
Then you're going to get some love.
Right. And then debone it.
Yeah.
And pull it out of there and then put it back in with your vegetables and a cream of chicken, maybe cream of mushroom combination soup. You could do it with whole cream too, but you know, if you're cheating and you're trying to get it done, the cream of mushroom and the cream of chicken combination is always really good. And you know, you just let that stew up and you know, it's like the pot pie without the dough. So I enjoy that as a stew.
Well, I bet your wife makes pot pie.
She does.
Because she's a baker.
Right.
So does mine.
Yeah.
And I love hers over.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't bother trying to take that limelight.
Nope.
Because she's to the point where she says, well, you cook better than me. You just make dinner. It's like, right. Oh, that is so sleazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's something Joppy would do.
Right.
No, oh, yours is so much better. You do it.
Yeah.
That's what my buddy Ted would do at Deer Camp. He doesn't even bring, you know what he brings? He brings
his appetite.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And,
yeah.
And his favorite protein bars.
Right. Yeah. And a wallet in case you run out of stuff. He'll go to town and buy some more stuff for you to cook. Yeah.
Yeah, he keeps that tucked away.
Yeah, right? The wallet. Yeah.
He's Dutch.
Yeah, exactly.
But he shares his land with us.
Yeah,
so that's better.
Nothing wrong with that,
no.
Right?
Happy
nothing
to buy.
Wrong with that, yeah. So,
sorry, Ted.
So anyway, I'm headed to, later today, the MSU U of M tailgate, and we've been talking about pork, and I've got a few things that I am going to make with pulled pork when I get there. I bring in the griddle. Okay. And, so I can, we're going to make smash burgers. That's an easy one. But with the pulled pork, I'm going to make kettle chip nachos.
So is this a catering event?
No, it's my company. My company is hosting a tailgate at the Michigan State game for our clients and prospective clients.
Okay.
And, but I'm just, of course, Myself and one other guy are doing all the cooking. Yeah.
Now, who's the other guy cooking? Give him a little fame here.
What? No. The guy's name's JD. It's one of our vendors' brother-in-law that comes, and he's got skills. He's got real skills, and he's doing all the sliders, and I'm going to do pizzas. And they wanted me to bring the pizza oven, so I'm bringing the griddle for him for sliders and smash burgers and things. And
well, that's a good way to keep your job, Randy. Is just keep feeding these people.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. This is round two. We did it a couple of years ago. It's the year when Michigan State plays at home against Michigan. My boss is a State alum. He won't go to Ann Arbor and do a tailgate, but when it's in East Lansing, we throw a good one. So should be fun. But
well, I don't blame him.
But take a little pulled pork, and I'm going to put some sweet barbecue sauce and some blue cheese on top of it, and then crush up some kettle chips, like potato chips. And I'm going to put a steamer top over top of that, spray a little water under there, and let that gorgonzola melt on top of there, and then scoop it up and put it on a slider bun. And we're going to have, I don't know what you call it. I call it kettle chip slider. But we're gonna try that. One of the guys, we were playing with it the other day, and it's like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, it's the texture and the sharp blue cheese with the sweet barbecue sauce and a little crunch on top of those kettle chips.
So why don't you put the kettle chips on at the last minute before you steam it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I got to get the gorgonzola melted.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw the kettle chips on right when we put it on.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's a new one that we're going to give it a try and see what happens with it. But always can do the Hawaiian sliders too, because we'll have a big bowl of slaw there.
Gordon's has Great Lakes kettle chips.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a Michigan company, and that's one of their big brands at Gordon's. I used to buy them by the case when I had the kitchen.
Yep. The other thing is that the crustini, the little French roll, the French bread, you know, and you can cut those on a diagonal. Sharp cheddar, the sweet barbecue sauce, and the pulled pork. We're doing that too, so that that's got a little more chew to it with that with that baguette on there. But just again, finger food, stuff that you can grab with one hand and eat while you're holding your beer with the other hand, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's
a real redneck way to say baguette, right there.
Yeah, right. Baguette, man. Forget it. Just baguette.
Yeah. What'd you call me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, listening to Barbecue Bob and I. Banter back
gibberish,
and forth.
Gibberish. Yes. Absolute tripe.
And, yeah. But if you're getting up in a tree, be safe. Strap yourself in. Nobody falls out on the case of deer hunting. It's not worth it. But we appreciate you tuning in. So we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.